Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Possible. I don't know why I'm sitting. I want to stand. We're at the Chaucer. We are in Highlandtown, Brewers Hill, Upper Canton, East Butchers Hill, District 1, Zeke Cohen. You're staying overtime. And in the last segment, I said you know everybody here. And then Heidi Daniels walks in from the Enoch Pratt Library. And you're like, oh. And I'm like, and you start talking shop about, like, working together and doing things together. Heidi, welcome. How are you?
Thanks. I'm great.
Now, you don't work out of Highlandtown, right? I mean, when I think of the Enoch Pratt Library, and I told you this before, I think of Highlandtown because that was my
branch.
That's where I went when I was a kid.
It's a great branch here, too, with the, you know.
But you're not, this isn't home for you. You work downtown mainly?
Yeah, so my office is downtown, but I try to get out to our branches on a regular basis. I was recently at Highlandtown. You know, with Councilman Cohen here.
Well, the Highlandtown's near and dear to my heart because it has the Frank Zappa statue.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
The head of Zappa. So that's a great story that I don't really know. I wondered that myself, and I have to look it up.
Oh, I know he's from here, but I don't know why Highland. Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
So I do think he lived somewhere in that area, and I believe when we were reopening it, we always like to have some public art, and someone, I'm sure, came along and
well, I'm a rock and roll guy. I let my hair down for this segment, all right? Just
awesome.
To show you. This is in honor of Frank Zappa and Hammer Jacks.
You're so rock and roll.
I'm trying.
Rock and roll.
Well, Hammer Jacks is coming back online, so I'm an original there. Absolutely. You know my love of education and reading, and Zeke's decided to stay later, and your daughter has sort of stolen my heart on the internet, right? So kids are going back to school. We talked about bookmobiles and all of that stuff. Give me a little parenting thing for a library. Do you bring your daughter to the library?
Absolutely do. It's one of her favorite places. We, every other week, I'd say, we go and get 10 books, and she brings them back home. We read them at night. She absolutely loves the Enoch Pratt Library. They do a phenomenal job. And in terms of my daughter, so this was actually the first week at the Goddard School, which is right down the road from here. And I will tell you, this is the first time I have dropped my child off at a school, and it is brutal, man. Like, it, you know, she's fine, but I'm like weeping big dad tears. Don't tell anyone this, Heidi, but it is.
He admitted it on the internet already.
Yeah.
Listen, it you know, I mean, I thought I was going to be good, but she is mostly the product of a pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. So we've been either she's been at home or with the nanny in nanny share.
And masked up
and all the rest. This is really the first time that she's been away. And it is hard, man. I mean, you know.
How many days in? About 3-4 days now? Where are you?
So this is the fourth day.
Does she know any of the kids?
Yeah, so she knew one of the kids who happened to be our neighbor.
That helps.
That helped the transition. Yeah. But, you know, it's
hard.
It is hard. And she's good when she's there. But I think when she leaves, there's like this psychological thing where she's like, oh, if I have to go back, mom and dad aren't going to be there. So she just cries these little baby tears at night. And she's not like weeping, but just like whimpering. And
we're going to get her through it.
Yeah, we're going to
I think we're getting through it. Yeah. Well, take her to the library. Give me the modern library post-pandemic. You're wearing a mask. Right. I'm outdoor. We're vaxxed. If I walk 2 blocks down to Conkling right now and I come to, what do I find at the library right now?
So right now, you're going to be asked a series of questions when you get to the door. You're going to be greeted by one of our friendly safety officers who are going to ask you a series of questions to make sure you haven't had any symptoms recently. They're going to remind you to leave your mask on while you're inside the building. And you're going to come on in, and then you'll be good to go from there. You can browse the shelves. You can use the computers.
Do I have to pay my fines from the 70s?
You don't, because we waived those. When I got here 4 years ago, we went fine-free.
I think you told me that when I had you on the show last year.
That's
so,
So you don't have to pay those fines. Because we did get people to return their books.
But my mind's not clean. And my mind I still feel dirty.
You feel guilty still?
Yeah, I do.
Does it help if I, like, absolve you? Like,
I have fine guilt.
Or a pope
is what I feel like I'm getting even by giving you airtime here and letting you extol the virtues of how wrong it is to not pay your fines. Exactly. Or to even keep the books too long.
Yeah, you just return the books when you're done. That's what we ask for.
What's the number one function of, let's just say, the not the whole system, because I think there's so many things you do, but for a neighborhood library, that's your child's neighborhood library, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Everyone here, what's a modern library need to be in Highland Town in 2021? What does it need to, other than books? I mean, the yeah. stuff we know. Yeah. I used to go to get the microfiche down at the North Point Library, right? Like, right. things that I did at the library, grabbing magazines and stuff. Probably not what people are doing right now at the library.
So, not so much. I mean, we do still have a lot of people come in for that traditional, I want to touch books, I want to pick out a book, I want to browse the stacks. When we were closed, we did hear from customers who just missed that sort of serendipity of what you might find while you're wandering through the stack. And you're like, oh, I didn't know I wanted to read that, but I want to read that. So we still hear from people that that's important. But modern libraries, particularly in urban settings, we're about access. And that means a lot of different things. So for Zeke's family, that might mean access to early learning resources beyond books, right, for his child. It might mean...
See, I always went to the library for help with my homework. Now I would go to the internet, right?
No, like, you wouldn't, though. You'd come in because there's a lot on the internet, and you don't know what's true and what's not. And I'm going to point this out because the pandemic should have this on everyone's mind. Not everyone has the internet. So, especially in Baltimore
that.
City.
I did 30 crab cakes yeah. in 30 days. I was with the governor last Monday, right? Zeke and when I say this, the first thing you're going to say is, that's happening right here in East Baltimore. Everywhere I got off of 50 and 68 and 70, this didn't work. Yeah. Yeah. If I wanted to do social media right. from anywhere, I was blown away by how crappy the cell phone service is anywhere yeah. off the highway in our state. And for every elected official to be running for office, it's an issue when you live on the Eastern Shore. They have to drive into Chestertown to take a Zoom meeting to keep your job, right? And...
Right.
And I think in the city, everywhere I go, my thing works right. because I have a phone and I have right. service and I have a job and all that. I can't imagine not having this. Bad yeah. enough on a farm where you hate CNN, you don't even have Wi-Fi. Like, I learned that those kinds of educational gaps, but I think it's even different here where everyone else has access to this if you're someone who doesn't have
yeah.
access
and,
to it.
Yeah, and, both Deutsche Foundation and Able Foundation have done reports on digital connectivity in the city of Baltimore, and about 30% of households don't even have connectivity. And so if you go down to the Highland Town branch, one thing you might notice if you look up is a real big antenna on top of our building. Because one of the things that Pratt did during the pandemic was put a really tall tower on top of Southeast Anchor, and that extended our Wi-Fi. And we worked with Project Wave, so about 50 households could get receivers and put them in their homes and get free in-home internet access. We also, at our remaining branches, we chose at least 8, and as funding comes in, we're expanding that to expand our Wi-Fi reach all the way around the buildings. We're hoping we might get additional funding through various recovery acts and donors.
So if I come and sit in the library, I'm getting online.
Yeah, you're getting online for sure. A lot of people are. So you can use your own device. One of the main things that people don't think about when they think about the library, but they should start thinking that way, and we're going to push it more, is really it's a great co-working space. And we're going to be redeveloping some of our spaces to really emphasize that. So you might have a table where you could sit. You could do a hybrid meeting. You can bring in your own equipment. You have a client you want to talk to. You want to report a podcast, you can record it at the library. You could record it in your studio. No, you don't. So there are quiet spaces, but...
I am not quiet when I do radio. When I tell my wife that the lady from the library wanted me to do the show in the library, she's going to say to you, you don't know me.
Well, we do have... I mean, you're not a quiet guy. I can tell
I am
that.
A boomer.
But we have a recording studio, so you can be as loud as you want, and I couldn't even hear you if I was standing outside. So,
you
I mean, see, that's
it's because I have long hair.
Is.
Are you profiling me as being
totally.
A loud musician?
Yes.
Type guy?
I'm like, he is so rock and roll.
Yeah.
If he comes in the building, it's going to be loud and chaotic. So we'll
Guns N' Roses is coming to town
studio.
Later. Now, the arena, Royal Farms Arena is not in your district, though.
No,
that's not.
No, it's not.
Zeke Cohen is here from District 1. Heidi Daniel here from the Enoch Pratt Free Library. Wait, official title, CEO, Poobah, what is it?
CEO and president, but I take Poobah, that's fine too. I'll, whatever.
Look, if I had a title like CEO, president.
Lady, whatever.
I've told Mueller this. That my favorite title are chief, police chief, fire chief. Anybody can be a commissioner or a mayor or president, CEO, but be a chief.
Chief is a good title.
Chief's good. I'm gonna be the chief of Baltimore Positive. For you with libraries and funding and money, she said something about Wi-Fi and when we get the funding, I think so much of this, and when I talk to people on the right side of the aisle financially with money and sort of the Reagan conservative people, when I think of the federal money and when it gets utilized, and when I talk to real politicians about this pile of money came from the government to do something good, It's people like you coming in and trying to figure out what to do with that. As I look at, and I said this to Brian, I see cranes here, and I see cranes here. I see things happening. I see building happening here. Give me some funding ideas about what this means for a library.
Yeah, so a couple of things. And I do want to say that you're absolutely right. We're seeing an enormous amount of growth in these neighborhoods.
That's why I came to the Chaucer. It's so beautiful up here to look down. You
That's
know?
Right. That's right. So a couple of things. I mean, Heidi had mentioned around digital connectivity, which, and this is a statistic that you mentioned, we found out in 2018 that 40% of households 40%. In Baltimore didn't have home wireline
40.
Access.
Yeah, 40%. I said 30, but 40 sounds right.
That's 40%. Every other, pretty much. Yeah.
That's right. So you think about that in 2018, that's terrible. In 2020, that becomes a crisis,
right?
Because all of us are totally stuck at home with, for those 40%, no internet access. And so
that's school, that's work, that's education, that's
everything.
Life, that's
listen,
that's booking a vaccine
that's right.
appointment.
That's your
right.
that's your telemedicine
that's
visit if you're an older adult. That's your right. connection to other people. I mean, we talked to folks in nursing homes who hadn't seen another human being because they've been completely quarantined in their room. So if you can't get online, you are in rough shape, which is why we really need to start thinking of it, of the internet as critical infrastructure, as a public utility.
It's water.
That's
it
right.
is a public utility. That's
it's,
exactly
it's,
right.
It's the rural electrification of the 1930s. It's roads in this country. It is that critically
We have
important.
To make sure you have electricity and water. We have to make sure, and a fire department, and police.
And
basic.
Internet.
This, and internet.
That's right.
Yeah, and fiber. High-speed broadband internet access is a critical public infrastructure.
Which is why we're so glad that Enoch Pratt stood in the gap and was able to stand up their mesh network, which is why we had rec centers that were starting to build fiber and broadband around. It is just crucial and critical, whether you're in the Eastern Shore, in St. Michael's, or whether you're in...
Well, it's different there. It's economic in both cases for the most part. My wife works as a 30-year telecom engineer at Verizon. 9/11 survivor, so give it out to my wife. She was a first responder 9/11, which is how she got leukemia. So I'm telling that story a little bit. But, you know, down in these areas where there's one house, I went to an island. I went to Smith Island. I went to Tylerton. There's 37 people that live there.
Wow.
You know, there's no way for a multi-billion dollar business to think we're going to go over there and make it work to get $100 a month from 37 people.
Right.
So that's the issue there. Here, it's available, but it's only available if you have the financial wherewithal to do it. It's different. It's not location-based here that they can't run 5G. It's can you afford it? And then it really becomes a caste system, doesn't it?
That's right. And to me, this is not just a Baltimore problem. This is a fundamentally American problem.
Yes.
Of course.
Whether you live in urban, suburban, rural,
it
is essential to have the internet. This is why part of my work recently has been advocating to the FCC and to Congress that they really need to step in and do more to push for universal access, to push for higher speeds. Because again, you know, you said it well, it is a caste system. If you can't get online, you can't learn, you can't get your medicine, you can't get much of anything. And
you can't apply for a job.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
That's right. And that's
but I can go to the library and do it though.
Yeah, you can. And we circulate Chromebooks now. We circulate hotspots, which we're about to upgrade to 5G. And I do need to give a shout out to PNC because they funded some of the Chromebooks early on, as well as the mesh network we mentioned. So we've been working closely with partners, with the city, with foundations to really stand this up for during the pandemic to respond quickly. Because one day my executive ops coordinator called me and said, I'm at Highland Town and there's a family sitting by the dumpster trying to get internet access. And so I said, go run inside and get the like hotspots and make sure they can get them checked out and like move them over to the steps so that they don't have to, you know, sit in out by the back of the building. That family needed to be able to get online to go to school. The mom needed to be able to do her job. And if you don't have high-speed broadband internet access, then you can't do anything.
You're not holding a Zoom meeting.
No. And, you know, I think that became really obvious during the pandemic, but it was obvious to libraries for years before that because we've been the largest provider of free internet access for quite a long time.
I know that from the early internet, the early AOL, where people would say to me, I go to the library to get online.
Yeah. But that never changed.
That feels pretty antiquated, but it
I mean, we don't do AOL anymore. We're nice fiber.
But that should have gone away. I mean, right. People shouldn't have to go to the library to get online.
Yeah, right. You should be looking at the library as a really nice place for you to work if you choose to do so, to connect to our Wi-Fi, just like any cafe. But it shouldn't be the only place where you can get free access. I think public computing and training is going to continue to be critical for us, for Pratt Library. We're talking right now about how we can train some folks for companies who might need to hire people, but maybe they need to be trained in specific computer skills. And, you know, we can help do that. That's the role of a modern library in any urban environment. And the pandemic for us really meant that we had to step up our digital equity game. And I think Pratt did a really good job of it.
Well, we are in Highland Town. I'm going to get a crab cake in the next segment. Brian Eater here. We're at the Chaucer. It's our first Maryland crab cake tour stop. We're visiting with Heidi Daniel from the Enoch Pratt Free Library. Still free.
Say the free part. Free. You never change that. It's not a public library. It's not free.
I almost tripped. It comes out of my lips that way, but I wouldn't call it the Enoch Pratt Library. I would call it the free library.
No, you have to call it the Enoch Pratt Free Library.
Because it's been branded that all my lifetime.
Absolutely.
Zeke Cohen here from Council One and working together. Well, I appreciate the fact that, and this is my little thing about people getting together and everybody knowing everybody. That, and I talked about that in the beginning with Josh, who was here from the Creative Alliance. That's how we move forward. It's leadership. It's people stepping up and doing what we as a country need to do, work together in one direction, right?
Definitely. Absolutely.
He promised me a Baltimore Rising shirt.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Next time I'm on, I'll get you one.
Well, you were already going to leave once, so I kept hearing all those segments, got some more critical information about children and Wi-Fi. Keep your daughter safe. I give it 3 weeks. I think by the time the Ravens are playing, like, Detroit, your daughter will stop crying. What do you think?
So? I don't know.
You're really worried now, aren't you?
She will, but I might not. We'll see.
That's a whole other...
Oh, she's doing great.
She needs the socialization. It's going to be good. She's got all these little buddies running around. But I'll tell you, first day we went in there, and my daughter is smart, sweet as can be, but she's like a little shy. Like she's not, you know, I think because most of her life has been spent in this pandemic, you know, she just takes her a little minute to warm up.
There'll be studies about this years later, right?
Pandemic sure. kids, no doubt. So, you know, we get into this building and there are kids running all over the place. There's like noise. It's messy. It's just the whole thing. And she just had this like deer caught in headlights.
Aww.
Like, what did I sign up for?
I don't want to be here.
Yeah. But, you know, by the end of the day, she loved it.
Yeah.
And then she goes back and she's miserable again as we walk there. Yeah. But, you know, we'll get there.
It does go away for her. But I will tell you as a parent, mine are in sixth and eighth grade. And I cried when they went back to school this year. So.
And when did they go to college?
When do they go?
Wait till they go to college.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I have friends dealing with that right now. It's just like this separation anxiety.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well.
I mean, you want them to go and you want them to have these steps, but...
There's some days you're looking forward to getting rid of them, sure.
Sure, absolutely.
He's not at that level yet, though.
Not yet.
Wait till they're teenagers.
Hey, man, my kid's 37. I'm way all done at this point. Yeah. I'm in the cat business right now. I'm just trying to get Nala to understand me and love me up as well. We'll do the Humane Society next week. How about that?
That's great.
Our crab cake tour is in Highland Town. We're going to Dundalk next week. Maybe I will get Kate Pike to come by and say, look, we're going to be at Costas next week having a crab cake with Johnny O, another elected official. We'll be doing that in my neck of the woods. People say, we're just doing East Side. No, I'm coming to your town, too. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is out and about. We're just getting started. Today was the soft opening, I think. Mm. But it's a pretty good day, man. Upstairs, I know you guys are wearing masks, but beautiful outdoor breeze in East Baltimore and Highland Town, Upper Canton and Brewers Hill. Thanks for coming by. I appreciate you guys. Elbow bumps for everybody and a Baltimore Rising shirt coming my way. I'm at the Chaucer. The crab cake's coming up next. I'm Nestor. We're WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.